Scott Kegley and Taylor Price back with another Cover 2 podcast from the NFL Scouting Combine in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. And Taylor, day three is in the books. We had a lot of big names come through the media center today, and it was the first day of drills out there on the field. And after all the reports yesterday, Jim Harbaugh back at work. He was sitting next to brother John Harbaugh, the Har Bros, as they're affectionately called by probably only you and I. We're out there watching drills once again, and it was good to see Harbaugh, khakis, fleece, cap, nothing's changed. He's out there scouting guys as usual.
Scotty's back to work. Nothing changed, as you said. He rebuffed the report by ProFootballTalk.com. Same with CEO Jed York. And it looks like it's business as usual. So we addressed that story. I know everybody was talking about it. I had a lot of texts last night. People were concerned. It looks like it's water under the bridge. Nothing to see here. Let's move on. And let's talk about the players that showed up today in the media workroom. Most notably, Michael Sam, defensive end out of Missouri. He was quite adamant that he wants to be known as a pass rusher, not a trailblazer for human rights or anything like that. No focus on endorsement deals. He just wants to get on a training camp roster and have a crack at making a 53-man roster for an NFL team. So that's very admirable. Quite the media scene. You know, we saw Johnny Manziel had a large scrum yesterday. Michael Sam had a lot of eyeballs focused on him, and I thought, from just a personal perspective, I thought he handled it all pretty well. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, to be the first openly gay football player in scouting combine history. And it just seemed like another football player talking about his aspirations to play in the game. What was your take on it, Scott?
Yeah, it was interesting. He said, one of the lines was, I hope you all can stand with Sam. And just saying he wants the media to be able just to support him and be able to let him live out his dream of playing professional football. And I think everybody who's busted their tail their entire lives through high school and college and now hopefully the pros, you know, they deserve that right. And, you know, I think that for us, it's, you know, he handled all those questions with class, but more importantly, I guess the question is, how will his game translate at the next level? And towards the end of his media session, people started asking those questions, and he got excited talking about, the prospects of him getting to the pros and getting after the quarterback, just being considered a pass rusher. Doesn't matter, whether he's a defensive end or outside linebacker, but wants to just be able to compete at the next level. And you know, he's certainly going to get the opportunity to do that, with which team remains to be seen. But it's great that the 49ers have gone on record too, and Colin Kaepernick saying, you know, hey, it doesn't matter in the 49ers locker room. They just want people to help them win football games. One of the positions the 49ers may take in this draft, and a lot of people have been saying they're going to be looking wide receiver early, maybe often throughout the draft, is wide receiver. Taylor, I saw you talking to some of the wide receiver prospects. Who are you particularly impressed with?
Mike Evans from Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel's go-to guy. Big, tall, physical receiver, can run.
You love Texas A&M football.
Those guys put up a lot of points this year. And let me get to the reason why. Evans. I tweeted this a little while ago, and it seemed like fans were all about it. Mike Evans was complimentary of Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman, said he loves his game, loves playing him. And when he was asked, how do big receivers handle press coverage or physical, you know, on the line confrontations, Mike Evans said, check the film, my best games are when people play me in press man. And the thought of going up against Sherman, a player he respects, he said, I would love that challenge, and I would go at him. Mm-hmm. So I tweeted that I would go at him hard, of course, and the 49er fans were loving that. They want a player with that sort of swagger, that sort of attitude of, I want to face Richard Sherman, who is the nemesis of the 49ers right now. So Mike Evans, that confidence, very solid, quiet, but confident, firm demeanor at the podium. I thought he was impressive. Like what I heard from Sammy Watkins, and, you know, I think Sammy Watkins will probably take Nash within the first five picks. He goes past five picks, I think. Personally, I think the GMs, the NFL, are overlooking his talent. And He said he loves dominating defenses, and that's what he wants to do in the NFL, and he expects to do that in the NFL, and that is a confident Deion Sanders type of quote. And, you know, these opportunities to hear from the players, it's a great showcase for them as people, and not many people are willing to be themselves and really say how they feel. There's a lot of, I'm going to be a hard worker, I'm going to come in and compete. Those are saying all the right things. Sammy Watkins believes that he can dominate as an NFL football player next year. He went out and said it, and I have to tip my cap to that. I respect that, because if you watched him play at Clemson, Scott, which we did sometimes with heckling our buddy Michael Horton, name drop, Sammy Watkins is an electric player, really a fine wide receiver who makes things happen. And so whoever gets Sammy Watkins on their team next year, I think they'll be pretty pleased with that decision.
Yeah, and Taylor, I'll just let you guess which wide receiver I want to talk about.
Fight on, Marcus Lee.
Marquise Lee. An interesting situation there. And, you know, I think he's a guy who's going to have, a lot of value for teams in the NFL. Battled through injury last year. Been through some adversity down there. And I think that's going to bet him. The Lane Kiffin era didn't benefit him at all. But he's had to learn different systems. He's had to battle through everything. Didn't necessarily have talent thrown on the ball. And he was able to persevere through all of it. Also returns kicks. And you know, I'd watched him play. Haven't ever heard him speak, really. And was just impressed with the way he came across. Seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. And, you know, it was interesting too, Taylor. You look at, we didn't have, the coach or the GM come through and speak today. So it was more about the players. But I was able to speak to our director of college scouting, Matt Malaspina. This is, you know, his Super Bowl. Those guys have been working their tails off. And if you don't know how hard these guys work, it's insane. Ethan Waugh, who used to be on the road, was actually telling me today he's lost a lot of weight since he hasn't had to travel so much. He's around the 49ers facility a lot more. And, I mean, that's what those guys are doing. They're staying in hotel rooms. They're going from campus to campus looking at these guys. And, you know, what the scouting staff of the 49ers has been able to do is just remarkable. Came up yesterday that they only had to pay Tremaine Brock $500 to get him as a undrafted free agent. He didn't have to waste a draft pick, but you know, he's telling me too, after our interview had concluded, you can't, you know, make a living doing that and chasing those guys, but you know, when you're able to find a guy like Tremaine Brock, you know, it's just amazing. And then those guys are hard at work once again this year.
The scouts are the rock stars. They don't get a lot of credit during the season, but this is their time of the year. It is their Super Bowl, their playoffs. This is what they grind for. And you mentioned Ethan Waugh. He used to do a blog for us on 49ers.com. My favorite Ethan Waugh story, just to really illustrate the grind of being a scout, he spent Thanksgiving on the road, and he ate at a gas station restaurant. Somewhere in the Midwest, there was a restaurant and a gas station, and he ate there and had the meal and did what he had to do to go scout the next day. So that's just the dedication in the life of an NFL scout. Malaspina, a great member of the 49ers scouting department, famously stood on the table for Bruce Miller as a 7th-round draft pick. So you have to love a guy like Malaspina who went out, worked out Bruce Miller, who's a college defensive end, said, hey, we'd like to see you at fullback. And look, 4 years later, Bruce Miller's a starter, respected, clearing the lanes for Frank Gore to get 1,000-yard rushing seasons year after year. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the examples of why our scouts are just so unappreciated or special in what they do. And this year, you know, they're working behind the scenes to find the next Tremaine Brock, find somebody who they don't necessarily have to draft. They can find and sign to a 500, 5,000, whatever the case may be, contract as an undrafted free agent. So, you know, it's not just the 11 draft picks. It's the full body of work. You know, last year, Lawrence Okoye, a guy that they brought in, and I'm curious to see what he's going to do a whole year under.
That's a good point.
They identified an Olympic discus athlete. Can he come in and play in the NFL? Can he learn under Jim Tomsula? Seems like everybody who's worked with Jim Tomsula has raised their game to another level. So think about all the players that are going to be getting a chance to work with his coaching staff, the camaraderie, the consistency of the 49ers locker room and coaching staff is always on par as some of the best in the NFL. So when you get the scouting department working together year after year and the coaches working year after year, you have a great thing. And that's why the 49ers are ultimately competitive every single year with Trent Baalke and Jim Harbaugh guiding the ship.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope the scouts are, you know, looking under every stone for talent. And just want to throw out there to you, Matt Malaspina, if you're watching it, you know, I'm going to be running my 40 on Monday. So if I can break 5.5, maybe beat – the offensive linemen were running today, and I was kind of starting to track their times because I'm really hoping one of them runs low fives just so I can guarantee myself of beating a player here would be great at just about anything. Of course, those guys are 330 pounds, but they're also about to become professional athletes. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I don't think they're looking at the digital media staff too closely, though. absolutely not. Well, Taylor, who are you excited to see tomorrow? We probably got some cornerbacks coming through, another position of interest for the 49ers, and a position that, you know, a lot of mock drafts have the 49ers taken at that 30 slot.
Well, yesterday we talked about SEC players, the way they've been groomed to play the NFL. A guy that comes to mind and has a great name, safety out of Alabama, Clinton Dix. No, I'm not making fun of him. That's his first name. It's Ha-Ha.
The possibilities are endless Clinton Dix. The things we can do with him on 49ers.com.
That's just, that name speaks to me right now. I think his game is impressive. He might be a guy of an Eric Reed mold that is probably first half of the first round. You might have to move up to get him. But you spoke to Trent about Dante Whitner. The team wants to have him back going into 2014. That has to settle itself out. So, you know, the draft speculation is always fun at this point of the year. But the reality of it is March 11th, free agency kicks off. If we have Anquan Boldin back, you have Dante Whitner back, your needs change dramatically in the first round, second round, third round, and going on. So you sort of have to play this thing out. It's fun to speculate. We're talking about who we like at the combine. Clinton Dix, curious to hear about him. Calvin Pryor from Louisville, he's a guy that I've read a lot about in mock drafts. People seem to be really high on his game.
Safety from Louisville.
Yeah, people are high on his game. So personally, I've never seen any Louisville defensive back interviews. That doesn't get on SportsCenter and NFL Network very often. So we'll be in the media workroom. We'll be listening. We'll have our ears wide open, just checking out some of the interesting players. And when I get back on Monday, I'm going to put together my annual all-personality team. I saw you had a recommendation. Trent Murphy from Stanford could be in the mix. We'll have to talk about that. But always like to just see who's interesting, who's confident, who has a personality that fans could really – gravitate towards, and Colin Kaepernick, 2011 member, put your gold sticker on that, your gold helmet sticker next to that name. I mean, he was very impressive at the combine. Jim Harbaugh talked about the character of him as a leader, a competitor, and look, you know, 4 years later, the 49ers have a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for Scott's 40 time, personality team, all types of good stuff. I know Rich Eisen's going to post something in his suit and tie. Scott, you know, you have to get those hamstrings, those calves, the legs warmed up, ready to roll, because you know, the fans are tweeting. They want to know, they want to see Run Scott Run Volume 2, the sequel. They want to know
the epic sequel.
They want to see you compete like a maniac, is what I'm getting at.
And you know what? I have done little to no practice for this, and by little, I mean absolutely not any practice. Last year, I Googled how to run the 40, and I plan on just showing up. You know, I'm that good. I can just show up, and hopefully everything will take care of itself. But it's a fun thing we do, just make myself look like a fool, and hopefully everybody enjoys it. But most importantly, the thing that people should be looking forward to is that draft and trying to see who the 49ers will select in the 2014 draft. Eric Reed, according to Matt Malaspina, made it a very easy decision. He said, if you can't identify Eric Reeds in this business, you're going to be out of a job. Just as good of a person as he is a player. Taylor and I will be back again tomorrow. One final podcast. We'll also be doing a cover two on video tomorrow, recapping all the highlights from the week that was the 2014 NFL Scouting Combine. One last time, make sure to send us some questions too. At
you
Scott Kegley.
You didn't bring it up.
What was our question? Let's hit on that one.
I can't remember who it was from, but it was.
This is the internet, so we don't have a time limit.
No.
We can keep going.
The internet. Yeah, it has to be good if it's on the internet.
It's true. Everything's true if it's on the internet.
The question was, does the team go for specific need or player overall? And I just want to jump in on that one because I think it's best player overall. Unless you have a quarterback and some player is inside linebacker, some player rated so highly that just doesn't fit with the makeup of your team, you go on to need. But it's always best player available. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can never have too many good cornerbacks, wide receivers. Fortunately, the 49ers have two Pro Bowl caliber offensive tackles. I don't think they're going to be going that route to start, but mm-hmm. best player available, you can never go wrong with an Eric Reed or, you know, Alden Smith type player. I mean, you just, if you love him and he's rated so highly on your board, you reach out, grab that player, mm-hmm. you put him in the red and gold.
Yeah, you see the teams around the NFL that draft for need and reach for quarterbacks. And I don't know, the first name that comes to my mind is just a Blaine Gabbert. And then, you know, they jump up there, they take their guy, and, you know, it hasn't worked out. They're still looking for a quarterback, you know, when you haven't had success on the field. And that's a difficult thing to recover from as an organization. When you go out there and you try to identify these guys that you think you need and you have to be able to run. That's what the 49ers haven't needed to do. You know, they have Marcus Lattimore, you know, who's still you know, rehabbing and getting ready to go. And, you know, his 49ers future looks bright. They don't need a running back, but they went out there and they got tremendous value in the third round. And a guy like Tank Carradine, you know, it's a luxury when you don't have to draft for need. Sometimes teams do. That's the nature of the business. And usually you regret those decisions is what I'm trying to say. Keep those questions coming, though. At Scott Kegley, at Taylor Price 49. We're running at about 17 minutes on this podcast, which is a long one. If you stuck through all of this, listening to it on the car, on iTunes, 49ers Radio, subscribing to the podcast.
High five.
All right, one last time for Scott Kegley and Texas A&M superfan Taylor Price. He's a big fan of those guys. Keep tweeting at us, send us questions. We'll be back tomorrow with another Cover 2 podcast.